Greetings, this is James Gilland with As You Wish Talk Radio. I'm your host on the BBS Network. We've got a great show tonight. We're just kind of throwing one together here, and they always work out great when we do that. We weren't sure what we were going to cover, and I had a whole thing to cover about the news and everything going on the planet right now, but we're going to skip all that because it can't get any crazier. If you can't see how crazy and what nonsense is going on out there, and all these perpetuated hoaxes and false flags, I don't think I can help you anymore. It's like do your own research, turn off your TV, and maybe get on the internet and do some research about what's going down, because it's beyond crazy. I was going to say I got a package in the mail, and it was a cucumber with wires coming out of it, and I had a Mickey Mouse clock, but I won't go there. But I mailed it to myself. No, but anyway, it's really getting that crazy. I think they must really think we are brain dead, and some people are, unfortunately, because they do suck this up hook, line, and sinker. But anyway, I'm going to skip all that today and bring in a different show, and because we've had some pretty crazy things happening here at ESET, and I wanted to cover that. And we had something happen here actually this morning that I thought it was important to cover. And I don't even know where to start, because other than just bringing our guest, and it's Kathy Lytle. Am I saying that right?
Lytle.
Kathy Lytle. And just to talk about what she just experienced out here, it was about 5:30 in the morning, and I was up all night long. I was up at about 2. And then I woke up at about probably some around the same time, and I was just tired and wiped out. And I'm not getting up and going out there. But anyway, it was kind of interesting. But you could feel the energy. And I have these little devices that sense energy that are coming for a visit, you might say. And everything was going off. All the sensors were going off. The light sensors were going off. Everything was going off all day yesterday. And so there's a lot of activity going on. But what happened this morning, I think, was beyond belief. So I'll let Kathy come and tell you her story and what she experienced this morning at ESETI.
So I felt pulled to come out to the field when I woke up early this morning. And the moon was up, and it was still pretty full, and so it was really bright out. And I just stood out on the Skywatch field for, God, not even 30 seconds. And this huge streak of golden white light just came out of the sky, and it morphed into this humongous ship. I don't even know how to give you normally the ships are about the size of a pinky nail, and this was the size of my whole palm. And it was just this huge flash of this golden white light. And then a few seconds later, another one came out that was smaller, and it just... And then I went back in the back field, and there was these huge ships just that they never went out. They were huge. I could watch them from horizon to horizon. And they were so bright, and they would even go by the moon, and they would never dim down. And it just it went on for about an hour, and it was just constant. And then I would look at the mountain. I came out back out to the front field, and I would look at the mountain, and the mountain was going off. And I would get to up to leave, and there'd just be another. It was just one after the other, and they were so bright. And I've been coming to the ranch for a couple years and been out at Skywatch Field I don't know how many times. And it was the biggest ship I've ever seen. It was really incredible. It felt like I was having my own private show.
Awesome. And what was the feeling that came with that when you connected with the ships? Or
it was so beautiful and awe. There was such awe that came over me and love. Like, I really felt that they were putting on this show just for me.
And yeah, you were the only one out there.
yeah. When I felt so full of gratitude, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
It was
and you were telling me before, we've had these beings coming in that are, you know, everywhere from, you know, seventh dimensional. Usually we work with fifth dimensional up to 13th dimension beings that have been coming in. And this one, you said, felt like the Jesai, the new ones that are coming in, a whole new group that's coming in. which are like eighth dimensional light beings. They're like warriors, and they're here to help in the transition and help clear up a lot of the extreme negativity that we've been experiencing. So, you know, it's nice that they put on a show. Too bad we didn't have a camera out there. But
I know. I thought about it for a second because I was just really enjoying the show. Mm-hmm. I think that they came in to kind of give me strength for a difficult day.
Yeah. And I'm kind of kicking myself in the butt now for not getting up and going out because I felt...
I kept wondering
at 2 o'clock,
where you were
at. At 2 o'clock, I looked out the window and I go, wow, it is crystal clear out there. And there's no clouds. The moon was out and it was just brilliant. It was beautiful. And, I was looking around. I said, oh, I'm really tired. I'm going back to bed. And then I woke up again about 5 and something told me maybe I should go out there. And then, you know, we've had long days here and I was wiped out. And so we did a lot of counseling today and things like that. And energetically, I was flattened. So I go, I don't got it. I don't have the energy to go out there.
I was thinking about,
yeah.
Wishing you were out there with your camera, but I
yeah,
wasn't.
Come bang on my door. Something that big's coming out.
I couldn't. But, I couldn't move. I was just
in awe when it happened.
Yeah, and enjoying the show.
Awesome. Well, it's still happening here, folks. And, a lot of ships have been coming in on a regular basis. If we have clear skies, you're going to see things and some phenomenal things. Things are getting closer now. There's a lot more beings getting involved with this shift happening. And, the shift is hitting the fan big time right now. And I think we got a lot of ships to help us out, I like that slogan, they're here, get over it,
They're definitely here.
Yeah, so major cleanup. I've got another guest here, too. I wanted her to tell her story. This is Vicky. And this is on a different subject here. She had an experience with a Bigfoot out in the field. So I'd love to get your story on what you experienced out there.
Yeah, I was here early July for the conference, and I'd gotten up in the wee hours of the morning. And as I was returning to my tent, I noticed something out of the corner of my eye, this big black figure moving across the field. And I remember thinking to myself, I just froze and thought, oh my gosh, I'm seeing Bigfoot. And I was still sort of dealing with that. And I'm just sort of frozen in my space when I'm just watching and just totally amazed. And then he turns and looks at me as he's walking. And then he starts to dematerialize as he keeps walking across the field. So over about 5 big, long steps across the field, he was getting more and more see-through.
Yeah, transparent.
He was becoming transparent. I could see the trees and the bushes behind him as he went across the field. And it was... amazing experience.
And was there
I will never be the same.
Yeah. And was there an energy exchange as well that happened?
Yeah, I feel that I had absolutely no fear. There was no fear at all. I mean, I was just amazed, and I just had this warm feeling inside, like, getting to see him. On my way up here, I'd actually asked to have a sighting while I was here, and I asked from my heart, and I put it out there with, my best intentions that I really would just love to have an opportunity to see one of them while I was up here. And when I went over to the medicine wheel, I asked again, and it was that very night that I actually had my sightings. So it was pretty amazing. And pretty changing, your whole thought process of how everything works in this world.
Yeah.
It was a real eye opener.
I had a similar experience. I'll just give you the short version of it, but I was up in the Snoqualmie Mountains, and I was camping, and I was making breakfast, getting ready to make something up, and actually it was dinner. It wasn't quite dark yet, but all I had was breakfast stuff to make, so it was kind of like I don't know what you'd call it, a breakfast dinner. But anyway, so I was making this and getting ready. I had the fire going, everything. I was getting ready to put the pan on. And this light comes out of nowhere, this bright light, and comes right at me. And I pick the pan up to block it. I mean, and it goes around me, goes around the car and goes down this trail, you know.
Wow.
So I'm going, what the heck was that?
Yeah. I mean,
this is really bizarre.
That is amazing. And after, then, and after I had seen him, you know, totally dematerialize over by the circle, I saw these two bright flashes of like blue white light. They were just like on off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still wonder if there was, you know, a connection with the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch, you know, that I saw. Was there maybe two others further over that I didn't even notice because I was so fixated on watching this guy go? Yeah. So I still wonder what those lights were.
Yeah. And they, what it did is that it went down this trail, and then I went ahead and had made dinner. And then I started hearing this moaning, this loud moaning. And it wasn't something like I've never heard before. And like I knew it wasn't a cougar. I've heard cougars before. I knew it wasn't a bear. It sounded almost something between a human and a cat almost. I can't even explain it.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
Like, it was my first impression was that's Bigfoot. And then my mind goes, you're crazy, you know, you're overactive imagination.
Yeah.
And I kept, I feel it. I need to go down there. So I walked down. It was a full moon. Everything was really bright.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't totally dark yet. And, you know, bright moon, everything. I walked down there and I see this being sitting on a log with some little bushes in front of it.
Yeah.
And that's where the moaning was coming from. And I put my hands out and I let it know that I didn't have any weapons or anything. Mm-hmm. And I kept sending it love like, and I going, are you okay? Can I help? Can I help?
Yeah.
And so this thing stands up and it's 7 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a female. I can see her breasts and everything. And she stands up and she walks by and she looks at me and she nods. And I got telepathically like, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Like we really don't hang out with humans.
Yeah, we've got this.
We don't really trust humans or something.
Yeah.
And she walked right in front of me. She did not get to the forest and she phased out and disappeared.
It's mind boggling.
Yeah. And when I went back, I really had to come to terms with this because she disappeared. You know?
Yeah.
Same with the ship. You see this ship going over, it's making no noise. Your ears can't grab it, and then it phases out, and you go, did I really see that? All my senses couldn't lock on it.
Yeah,
like, was that for real?
It was the same as that weekend. It was the twin guys that saw the little Bigfoot jump out in front of them, and I thought, you know, if I'd have seen that, I probably could have processed it easier because it was
the
like, okay,
one.
Yeah, it's there. It's right there, and, you know, you see everything, and it didn't just phase out, you know, then that would have been a whole, you know, different thing. But, yeah, watching them, you know, dematerialize.
These guys were big guys. They're two brothers. And these guys are
big
buff guys.
Yeah.
And it turned their world upside down.
He was shaking like a leaf.
Yeah,
and
he said the energy exchange was so intense.
Yeah.
That he said you knew they were in charge.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like, there was no doubt.
Like, and he said it was so intimidating. He goes, I really got to get my act together because I couldn't hold my own there, you know, energetically.
And I said it was so funny after mine. I just sort of felt like, and I don't know if it was just my own mind or if it was something that he said to me, but I got, okay, you got what you came for. It's cold. Go back to bed. And that's what I did. I just walked back to my tent and I thought after, why didn't I run out there and look or, you know, look for footprints or anything, you know? It wasn't until like the next day I went out and I looked and then I had this compulsion to have to draw it all out. So I did a little sketch of it, you know, the next day to sort of say, okay, yeah, there it is. That's what I saw, the best that I could draw anyway.
Yeah, we've had so many people, Larkin O'Toole, Peter O'Toole's son came out here with another girl, Tiffany, and they had their experience. And there's been so many sightings. I need to start documenting all this and keep it and put it together with me. You know, a lot of people want all this evidence. And to me, it's a personal thing and it's a spiritual thing. And it's like, and I know, you know, just for the greater good, I'll probably start documenting more of this. But the thing is, why do you have to document and prove it when it's ongoing?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
shouldn't happen to be proven. And is it up to us to prove it or is it up to Sasquatch to decide, okay, we're coming out, you know, we're here and we're doing it, you know.
And Sasquatch chooses who he's going to show himself to.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, they have the old Native American saying, like, if you if you want to find Sasquatch, you'll never find him if you go out searching for him. But if he wants to, he'll find you.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
she'll find you, whichever one.
I totally believe
it. Yeah, it's amazing. And I really think it's up to us to rise to the occasion. Just like, you know, we have to get rid of all of our fears. And we have a lot of fears of the unknown. We have, you know, there's two things people fear most, change and the unknown. And we got to get beyond that. And we have to let go of our old belief systems that everything's evil and everything.
Yeah.
You know, there are some things you need to avoid, and you can maintain your self-authority by making your own personal connection with Source, you know, and get a few tools under your belt. But basically, you know, we have to drop the fear so we can engage, you know, these beings, because not everybody out there looks like us.
Well, I think you really have to put out your open heart and an open mind and open eyes. You have to be open to everything to actually be able to receive everything that's out there.
Yeah,
it's like possible to receive.
Yeah, what I've seen is that on the path to enlightenment, these things happen.
Yeah,
they come with the path.
Yep.
And not to get caught off on it, you know, because I already died a couple of times. I already connected with Source.
Been
I have
there,
my own
done
connection.
That.
But and these other things are just interesting. I don't make my whole world around it.
Right.
But I do acknowledge it is there, and there's a lot to learn from these different beings, and they have a lot of ancient wisdom. And you know, why not? You know, why push this stuff away and or brand it as the devil or dark or whatever? But you see that all the time. And you know, to me, if I was that telepathic and sensitive, and somebody was harboring those thoughts, I wouldn't show up to them.
No.
I don't even know if I'd want to talk to him.
No, you know? No, not me.
You know, one guy came up here and he has a checkbook out. He goes, how much to go on the ship? How much would it cost me to get a ride on the ship? I said, that's not in my control.
No.
I don't. That's between you and them, you know, what happens, you know.
You can only do so much with a checkbook.
Yeah, if you start getting out of body, you can go on the ships anytime you want when you get up to a certain frequency. But I said, it's not up to me. You could go, how much, you know. And I said, you know, it's like, you know, those ships are like, some of those ships are only like 50 feet wide or 25 feet wide. And I said that, you know, I said, do you really think they want to be in close company with you for any... You know, we probably smell bad for one thing, and we have this auric stench sometimes. Mm-hmm. And when we haven't done our homework, we have this energetic thing that makes some of them ill, and it just doesn't work that way. You know, people, we have to rise, we have to clean up our consciousness, rise to the occasion, and we may get a pass. You know, who knows? But I think this whole disclosure movement, they're going to disclose when they want to, and it's coming soon. And it's not going to be about you know, paperwork and getting movie stars and people like that to come out and do things. I mean, it's great that people are doing that, but still they're controlling the narrative, and which is a little plug for the uncontrolled narrative. If you haven't seen it, go to eSETI.org or go to eSETI Stargate and watch it. It's going to cover all this stuff, but there's a lot of control in the narrative. And I see the same thing, too, with a lot of these Bigfoot movies. They have these guys with all this gear going out there.
Oh, it's too ridiculous.
And, and some of them are carrying guns, and some of them, and they're all looking for Bigfoot. And it's a totally unconscious approach.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the ships. You know, you've chased ships around. You might get lucky. If there's a lot of activity in the area, you might get lucky, but the thing about it is if you invite them to come and you're raising consciousness, then you're going to have the experiences. And that's what people learn here is how to raise your consciousness, how to release the past and heal the wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience. When you do that, your frequencies rise and then you're ready. You're ready for contact. And even then, it's going to take a while. They're going to have to do a little at a time to get you past your fears, you know, and past whatever else is going on.
I'd just be happy if people realize that, you know, Bigfoot are sentient beings. They're not just some animal in the woods, and they shouldn't be treated as such, and, you know, that they would just educate themselves.
Yeah.
It's not about knocking on trees and banging rocks and, you know, all that other foolishness.
Well, these scientists come up here, and these guys have PhDs and things like that, and they think they're going to catch Bigfoot. And they put all their gear, you know, they put everything out, trips, you know, infrared sensors, all these things, and they have it all ready to go. and they put their fruit out there, and each time Bigfoot gets it, and then they have nothing. And they have nothing, but they're saying this is a big dumb ape out there.
Yeah, no.
And I said, this is a big dumb ape. He's outsmarted you every time, you know? So
yeah, which
so
one's the dumber ape?
Yeah, where does that put you on the intellectual
yeah, for sure.
food chain? Yeah. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot more to what's going on. I know we've got Mysterious Mount Adams. They're doing a video on all the high strangeness in the area here too as well. Oh, so cool. It's getting out there. You know, there's so many documentaries coming out now about what's happening here, but
it's an amazing place.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of amazing people that have seen a lot of amazing things.
Yeah.
It's
now you've seen some of the ships here too as well.
Oh yes, yeah. Seen the ships. Yeah. Or
and the mountains.
Light flashes in the middle of the day. Yeah. What was that? Yeah.
I just saw one earlier and this big old flash and I had a flashlight and I looked out there and there was nobody there. Nothing, I thought it was a flashbulb that somebody was taking a picture aimed at me.
Yeah, my picture is in the middle of the day and there's like this whole orb cluster and it's the middle of the day. What is that? It's the middle of the day. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But it's definitely an amazing spot. So anyway, glad to be back for another visit.
Definitely. Well, thanks for coming on the show and we'll get that. I know you did a beautiful drawing of what you saw.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if it's beautiful. Like I said, I'm no artist, but I try.
But so, I mean, between that, I know you have your testimony and then the drawing. We'll get that up on the website so people can see.
That'd be awesome. I'd like for other people to know, you know, there's more to it, you know, than what they think. So
awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. All right. Now we have a little treat here and we just happened to have John Vivanco here.
Showed up for dinner.
Yeah, and dropped in on us. And so we're having a conversation at the dinner table, and I wanted to continue that conversation over the air. But it was about, just to kind of qualify this, basically, we've done a couple remote viewing seminars, and we've remote viewed the mountain, and they've remote viewed the ships that have been landing on the mountain and coming in and out of the mountain and getting a lot of information on that. But some of the latest information that you've been doing research with, I'd love for you to just kind of cover that. And I think it has to do with the Merkabas and the lion beings and all that. There's so much going on.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. This is mind-blowing to me. This is way out of my wheelhouse, too, because I'm not... I lived in a Zen center, so if I have any religious affiliation, it would be more towards the Buddhist side. But there's this whole thing happening out here that I have to research to understand because I'm building a documentary on remote viewing the phenomena that's happening out here. And, oh man, okay, so first off, we get the lights forming on the mountain, we get star-shaped patterns that are forming as these lights appear. And those are our Merkabas. You know, our data is pointing towards Merkabas there. On top of that, we get a lion-type humanoid that is involved in the creation of it or within this Merkaba. This thing then flies around in it. And these guys are always engaged in some type of protective action. They're protecting something. They're protecting the gate, right? Mm-hmm. Where they come from. And now on the other side of that, I've gotten some strange photographs. I've gotten photographs right in the field of dreams right there of a winged disc. Literally like a round ball with wings on it. When you look up what a winged disc is, it's really fascinating, but I'll get that in a second. So on top of that, I've gotten a photograph of something right in the field. It's taking shape, it's forming, and it's got these like lion-like eyes, big lion-like eyes. With our remote viewing data, they talk about Vimana and Chariot, stuff that is not something I've run across before when it comes to UFO stuff. So doing research on all this, I mean, that's the preface for this. Sorry it took so long, but
no, it's good.
The research that I've been doing has led me down the path of religious texts, you know, the Bible, scriptures, stuff like that, because they talk about the Merkaba, for one thing. They talk about wing discs. They talk – okay, so let me just get to this. The Merkaba literally is a chariot of the gods. Mm-hmm. This is from Ezekiel's wheel. And within the Merkaba, you have the four faces of man. So it's the chariot of God, but you have the four faces of man. Each face of man is a cherubim or a a cherub, an angel. Mm. One of the faces of man is a lion. So one of the angels or cherubim is a lion. And it is represented in the Merkaba. And now what we have here when we remote view this stuff is these lights are forming on the mountain. And we have lions that are involved in the creation of it. We have winged discs appearing in the field. These are known as a chariot of the gods as well. So, I mean, what we're looking at here is absolutely mind-blowing to me because this is not something that I've ever researched before or run across, because normally we get these, well, it's a anti-gravity thing and these aliens are coming here to, you know, survive, collecting genetic material and stuff. Out here, you have something, it's not even related to that. You know, I mean, I'm just talking about this sort of central phenomena rather than the expansiveness of it, because, you know, as you guys saw, you saw Bigfoot and you saw something that wasn't maybe, I don't know if it was related to that, right? You know, there are other things happening as well, and not just this, but I mean, really, it's like I said at the table, it's like you'd think that people who are reading scriptures and Christians would be like walking on their knees to come out here. Because, man, you've got something like of deep, deep Christian religion. Like, yeah. Their iconography is showing up out here. That's blowing my mind.
Well, we also have Mary's appeared here quite a few times, and we've got photographs of him. And one of the photographs was taken by a Taoist monk who didn't know who he was photographing.
Yeah.
And he's
well,
going,
like me. I don't know what a heck of Merkaba is.
Yeah. Yeah. And he goes, who is this? Who is this? And it was during a self-mastery workshop where Mary did come in. We all felt her come in. The women were all crying. It was very healing. It was amazing. And I told him, I said, Mary's here. It's that divine feminine energy's coming in. And it was intense. And he pulls his camera out, takes a picture, and gets this beautiful picture of Mother Mary. And I want to do a disclaimer, you know, Mary's not Catholic. She's a universal being and she's here for all the children and she's not too happy with what's been going on this planet right now.
Yeah.
And they are getting active. But, you know, we've had Babaji appear here. We've had Kuan Yin and we've gotten photographs of some of the other beings, Ezekiel, which is an ascended version of Ezekiel, which ties into everything too. And what happened is Ezekiel merged with Kasia, feminine energy, and they went into the plane of bliss. And on that level, you're both male and female. You're just pure energy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the fifth dimension, right? Would that
seventh.
Be the fifth,
seventh? Yeah, they're dimension. In the seventh okay. dimension. But it's like they're so, it's just pure, you know. And then, so I'll backtrack a little bit. When I was with the Tibetan Foundation, when I first connected with Ezekiel, I went out of body. I was standing in front of him. He was on a throne. He had two little pillars in front of him. One had a book and one had a bow and arrows, golden bow and arrows. And I took me a while to figure out what the bow and arrow was for healing and sending energy long distance and things. But the book was his book. He wanted me to write his book. And he had long golden hair, golden robes, a golden beard, and it all flowed together as pure energy. It was the most noble thing I could experience. And he was stroking his beard, looking at me, and he was smiling, and the bliss coming from him, and just that pure love and joy was overwhelming. And I had just tears running down my eyes. And everybody's going, what's going on? What's going on? And I kept saying, no words. I can't explain this. And that was my first experience. And then this Andromedan comes in, and this other woman was working with this Andromedan, and she told me, you're a teacher for the God of Eternal Bliss. And I haven't really told this story. And I started laughing, you know, and she goes, you'll be teaching the teachers. And I started laughing. I even laughed harder on that. I go, I'm going to be doing what, you know, teaching the teachers. I said, this is crazy. You know, this is like way outside of my pay grade, you know, on this one. And so anyway, so that has happened, you know, teachers from triple PhD, Boeing engineers, all these people have been coming up to find out what's going on all these other dimensions and things. But, and so it has manifested, but the, in experiencing that energy, the woman also told me that you're a teacher for the God of eternal bliss. And I said, who's that? And they said, Ezekiel. So they consider the Andromedans, who are mythologically known as archangels, they're actually Andromedans. They're 8 to 10 foot tall beings with magnetized light bodies, and they're referring to Ezekiel as the God of eternal bliss. You know, so anyway, that was my indoctrination. That was quite a few years ago when that happened, and this just kept expanding after that. But these beings are all appearing here from almost every culture. They're all coming together here, and that's what this place is all about. It's the whirling rainbow, you know, the unity consciousness where everybody comes together. And what's interesting, I've had so many people from different faiths want to come here and just take over. You know, they want to take over, and, you know, they want to make it into this faith or that faith or this mm-hmm. one. And I said, no, this is a place everybody can come to and get along, you know, and work together.
Yeah.
So we have the elders from every culture come here and do ceremony and things like that.
Right.
And we're not into wrathful gods, because we know the real history of the wrathful god, and we're not into control mechanisms. We're all about empowering the individual to make their own personal connection with source, whatever name they want to give it. But there's no guru here, you know. It's like, you know, I'm the last person to be somebody's guru, you know. It's funny, and there are people who say this is a cult, you know, and I said, really? Well, how do you join? I said, try and join, you know. And they go, what? You know, I go, there's nothing to join here. It's a bunch of free thinking minds that are doing research and want to expand in consciousness and make their own connection, you know, and explore the universe. Basically, there is no, there, you get a free newsletter, you can join that, you know, and that's it. You know, we're not taking 20% of people's income like other people out there. We're not asking for, you know, $100 million, you know, so we can cut up another creepy little object, you know, and we're not charging $2,500 to see a light in the sky. You know, if we're doing that, I'd be a very rich man, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all distraction stuff. You know, it's all about the individual. And it's about doing our own research, making our own connection, have our own contact. And we just help people to do that. We empower people to do that. And I think it's what's sad is people keep giving their power away constantly to these other people, and they take it. They take their power. They take their money, you know, and that's very disempowering when you do that. And so people are all expecting the next shiny new person to come out and bring disclosure. And
yeah, it's that. It's just replacing one authority with another, always, always, always.
Yeah, it's an external authority program.
Yeah.
And that's so ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
To break that is so hard, to break out external authority. And I think right now, in the days we're in right now, I think the big lesson is, who are you giving your power to?
Yeah, I agree.
And it seemed like that. It's just like they're all being exposed. All of them are being exposed for their true motives, what they're about, what they're really about. And some aren't perfect, but their motives are correct and they're doing the right thing. And then there's others that are just pure evil, I hate to say it, that are so self-absorbed and narcissistic and self-serving that you're never going to get a straight answer from these people. And they're the ones that are screaming the loudest and making the most accusations, because they're afraid of being exposed for who they are and what they're doing. But I didn't want to go there in this show, but, you know, if just observe, whoever's making the most accusations and screaming the loudest are the ones with the most dirt, you know, the most dirty laundry they don't want you to find out about. And that's what's happening. The more they accuse others, then their laundry comes up and then everybody sees it. So expect more of that, and that to intensify, because it's part of the healing that we're going through. But, you know, What else have you been doing with that? I know you've been remote viewing the mountain and
we were looking at some of Pete's stuff.
Oh yeah.
Pete Slattery. Uh-huh. We were looking at specifically this little being that showed up. He's got actually
Valerian.
I don't know. He's got this sort of IR video on his kitchen or something. Yeah. And this little like being pops its head in.
I heard that.
That is an amazing video.
Yeah.
Then we were actually last night. I was doing a group image streaming. Couple different very experienced remote viewers. We were looking at a video he took of what looks like this Merkaba spinning in the sky in Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah,
That one was really cool. That one was, I mean, so when we remote view, we don't actually get where they're from. Mm-hmm. We don't get their names because to a remote viewer, those are concepts and we don't go into the concepts. So I think he says it's an Andromedan, but it was a super hilarious being.
Yeah.
Super funny being that was actually showing itself dancing to the viewers. And yeah, I know, shake your groove thing, I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, the viewers were describing this. It came through a tear. Mm-hmm. Like a tear opened up in the sky and it came through and
it was a being itself, like a Merkaba.
It was a being, and it was like in a Merkaba because the viewers were seeing I was one of the viewers too. Seeing the shape of the squares, the triangles around it, but also within it. And there was more than one in there, mm-hmm. not just one in there. yeah. I mean, you know, the funny thing is that you look at, for instance, Pete's videos, and I mean, you just know right up that something's happening, you know, and what he says is happening is what we get with the remote viewing. Yeah. It's pretty much the same stuff.
A little different language, but the same.
Yeah, different language, but the same stuff. And that little being popped its head in.
Yeah.
I swear to you, it was like drinking his milk and eating his food in the house. Because, you know, I mean... Some of the data that we're getting back was like it left the refrigerator a mess kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was like chugging this milk or something. I don't know. It could have been Pete that we were picking up on that.
But, you know, there was – I mean, I stayed in their house. I stayed with them for 3 months over there, and there was so much activity. There was the wispy energy is going by all the time.
Oh, really?
We go outside day or night. There are ships flying over.
Yeah.
And contact being made. And, yeah. And the room I stayed in actually is the same room he filmed the – Pleiadians, where he got those beautiful pictures of Pleiadians appearing to him, CG, and this other, I guess that was both two pictures of CG. One's a little better, but
yeah, we looked at CG as well. That incident, mm-hmm. that thing. I don't know, man. Pete's
a magnet.
I don't
he's
even know.
He's a sleeper. He's like.
I don't even know what to say.
If you knew, you wouldn't even, you know, so you wouldn't know how tapped in that guy is. Like
he's an experiment from the center of the universe. I don't know, man. I'm really trying to wrap my head around the data and what it all means, and a lot of it actually has to do with Pete truly being some kind of experiment.
Yeah.
Truly.
We used to call these cars sleepers in the old days, and they're like just look like a normal car, but they had this big massive engine and it just blow your doors off.
Right. Know? Yeah. But, Pete's stuff is super fun to view, just like your stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, the viewers are always wanting this type of stuff to view. And I mean, now it's like I've got tons of it. There's just constantly stuff to look at.
And there's these beans are popping in right and left here and at his before with him and his house. And it's just like, and you know, people say, it doesn't matter where Pete is, it happens. And the same thing with me, wherever I go, crazy stuff happens. It's like normal. I think they follow the person, you know, but they're thinking about, he said he has, even before I got here, there was energy here and there was ceremony being done here before I got here. And there was, the land was really sacred and the UFOs have been flying. You know, it's like we had some people, one guy come here and take credit for all the UFOs being here because he was here. we won't mention any names, but I had to explain to him, well, they were coming here about 700 years before I came here that we know of. And
These are ancient aliens out here.
Yeah, very ancient.
Yeah.
And you know, we just took that picture. We got a picture that Jason Quitt took. And everybody was focused on the cave. But when you panned over to the right side, and Jason, if you're out there listening, look at that photo. Look at the right side of the photo, the cliffs on the right side. And you'll see these faces carved into that cliff. And I'm pretty sure we're going to have those up on the website too here really quick. But they look, I can't even describe. It almost looks like it almost looks like a Native American face. But pre Native American, almost
kind of like the Moai.
The Moai, yeah,
like Easter Island.
Easter Island.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
And the features are undeniable. When you look at this guy's face, the features are undeniable. That they've been carved in it, and the cave has faces carved all the way around the cave that the ships come out to.
Yeah,
there's something really ancient and really magical going on up there, but. I want to warn people, though, if you go up there, you better have your crap together, I know people who have gone up there and they came back and they couldn't even talk for a couple of weeks, and their whole world got turned upside down. They weren't ready for what they experienced. And also, too, if you're not at a certain level of consciousness, you may not see anything.
Right.
Too, as well. So I knew one woman went up there and started screaming. She hiked all the way up to where the door was and was yelling and screaming and throwing rocks at the door. I've thrown rocks at the door. Hey, I'm out here. You know? But I didn't yell and scream at him. You know, I go, hey, I'm out here. And I waited and waited and then I threw a rock at the door just to see if it sounded hollow, you know, and was knocking on the door. I thought if I bugged them enough, they'd open the door, but it didn't work. But
Well, you know what the other thing, too, is that they're – I mean, they're not – you're part of this whole thing. I mean, you're part of this whole thing. So – but what I was reading as well was that the lion, the cherubim are responsible for protecting God's creation, right?
Yeah, the bigger plan.
Right.
Yeah, the bigger plan.
Yeah, they're responsible for protecting – they're responsible for getting rid of interlopers, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that, like when you guys got the photograph last November of, or the video last November of those lights shooting, just, when we viewed that, we got, and that's right where you were, right? Mm-hmm. That's probably right where you were throwing rocks at that location.
Just above that, just to above, the right and above that.
Okay. So that we got in our data that they were protecting. They were in protection mode.
Mm-hmm.
They were flying around the mountain. They were trying to get interlopers out. They were trying to protect. And that's normally what we see when we even remote view some of the low flying craft.
Yeah.
We get that they're doing something protective. They're always doing something protective, which again goes back to that old Bible scripture stuff.
Yeah. Well, we saw something happen up there where there was a ship up there and they were grays and they were bothering people that were up on the mountain, the gate guards and things like that. And we heard stories about people that were up there that were getting bugged by them. And I went up there and these guys came after us, me and this friend of mine, and they had the ability to mentally project energy like you're going to die in pure dread. Yeah, you're going to die in the next moment.
Yeah.
And I broke the connection, and I came out of my tent, and one of these grays was standing right in front of me. And I was pissed that he did that. I wanted a piece of him, because if you can get a hold of them, they break real easy. Yeah. They're not very strong. But, I mean, just for him doing that, and he did it to my friend, too. And it really ticked me off. And so I came back to the ranch, and I was telling other people what happened up there. And the girl wasn't. And I was pointing right at this spot. I go, right there. I go, somebody should do something about that. And right when I was pointing at it, this big flash of light in the sky happened. And this thing came down smoking like a leaf. You know, it came down and crashed. And then this other light object came down. And it started moving all around the mountain. And they're picking up the pieces, you know. And And so it was quite interesting. We found out that was an Arcturian ship, actually.
Interesting.
And that got involved there. And they picked all the pieces up, so nobody. But that ship actually morphed into three or four ships, and it was moving all over the mountain. And we filmed it. We got it on film. But pretty crazy stuff going on up there. So it is well protected. And there are interlopers or beings that are coming in that shouldn't be involved in this. And we saw right over the house here, a massive reptilian ship was coming in, and they just smoked it. When they hit it with this big beam, and it's a big flash of light, and the thing just turned into powder. And there's multiple witnesses that watched this thing. And when it was coming in from the south. And I go, whoa, check this out. This thing's huge. Everybody's going, nah. And all of a sudden I go, this feels bad. This does not feel good. Look at the sensors are going off in the other room. That's funny. They're talking about this, and all the sensors are going, somebody's here. But it's kind of funny. But I go, this doesn't feel good. And then I saw that big blue flash. And then I asked the Palladians, what was going on? And they said, no, we smoked them, basically. Yeah. They said they shouldn't be here. Yeah. And we met them with the same tent they were coming with. And so it's universal law, you know. And so, so we have some protection there. But it's kind of interesting. And that's something I haven't quite figured out. How much protection do we have? And how much do we need to do on ourselves? And I don't know. It's just so crazy here.
Yeah, I know. Every time I'm out here, it's just like something mind blowing is going on every single time. And I there's so many rabbit holes you can go down.
Yeah,
I mean, know. It's like, you know, this stuff that I'm researching right now around the stuff that we viewed as one sliver of it, I think. I mean, it's got to be all related, but it's still just one sliver of the phenomena because, you know, I've seen, like Kathy was talking earlier, I've seen ships that are pointed with all like avians and I know other people have as well. And then when you read those old scriptures, they talk about one of the other faces of the Merkaba, face of man within
the eagle,
the eagle.
Yeah,
so there you go, like on that side too. It's just,
and there's all the inner earth things, which are
the inner earth stuff too.
Yeah, Flash Gordon was right about the, you know, the birdmen, you know. Who knows, you know, like, where do they get those ideas?
Right. But, well, then, okay, so if they're protecting something.
Yeah.
You know, our remote viewing data, it leans towards the gate, right? But, you know, and just in a general sense, this kind of idea that it's, there's a magnetic anomaly here, and they're protecting this ripple where dimensions are pressed up against each other and they can travel through. But is that what it is? They're protecting, you know, God's creation. What if there's something beyond the gate that they're protecting? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's this. Maybe it's just the gate, or maybe it's this area around here.
I think it's something bigger, because when we've used Harold Oldfield's PIP technology and filmed the mountain, there's so much energy coming off that mountain, and you can feel it if you're sensitive. But we filmed it, and we've had people look at that, and they said, we can't even get this much energy coming off the pyramids. They said something is generating a massive amount of energy. And I almost feel like what it is, it's like they're generating fifth dimensional consciousness and energy there. And it's like a point that's spreading out across the land, and it's helping to preserve the earth and the people here, and it's something really big.
Yeah,
and I don't even like talking about this stuff, but I don't think anybody can stop it. It's too big. There's so much protection there.
Yeah,
anybody in their right mind would allow this to happen if they want to see humanity, the earth, be preserved and get through these times. Because you know, we have to make an alliance with these beings, because they've already done batting practice on some pretty large meteors that NASA doesn't tell us about till the last minute, after they get diverted or blown up in space. And they've blocked kill shots from the sun. You know, they've done so many things to give us more time to get our act together. And they have all these technologies. They've already dispersed the fuelless energy technologies, the anti-gravity, counter-gravity, all of that, you know, healing technology beyond our wildest dreams. They're here. They're on the planet now. And And people say, well, why do you work with ETs? And I said, because they're our best shot right now on you know, assisting in this major awakening healing process. But I mean, this is so massive. And what blows me away is the resistance, and not the news crews are coming up here. We've had ABC up here, Fox News, all these people are coming up here, Evening Magazine, you know, and they've done, you know, things on here, although they did sanitize it a bit. They didn't show the really cool stuff, but they've been covering it, and it's weird. The more resistance I get, or the major resistance I get, is from the UFO community itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes no sense whatsoever. And our door is open to everybody. And we shared this information for everybody so they can take it to the next level.
Right. Well, they're looking for nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking screws on the ground and crop circles or whatever. I don't know.
I hate to say it. It's like kindergarten, you know. It's just like,
yeah.
But, you know,
this is something different here.
Yeah. This is beyond that.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, again, people fear change and the unknown, and they don't want to change. And it's unknown to them because they haven't been able to access that.
Right.
And so they don't know what it's about. And most of them have been so programmed either by scientism or religion or whatever. They've been so programmed they can't see outside that box. But everything they talk about is manifesting here. You know, it's like where it blows me away. It's just like it's in your face. Where are you?
I know. Yeah. I know. This place is mind-boggling. And, I mean, you could walk around to different locations on the property and feel different types of energy happening. And the energy is so palpable, it's like your hair is standing on it,
yeah.
You know? And these are the areas that you can catch photographs of stuff moving around.
Yeah, there's two major ley lines that cross here on the property. And then there's these little mini vortexes. And there's places here, if you park your car, your battery will be dead in the morning. And there's other places where will actually keep your battery charged. And it's kind of bizarre. There's so much going on here. It's a bizarre place,
yeah.
But you know, it needs to be maintained and preserved, and you know, it's a place for people that are sincere, that have pure intent and open mind, loving heart. If they come here, they're going to have experiences, you know. But if you come here with a bad attitude, you can not only screw yourself over by not experiencing these things, but you know, and mess it up for other people too. And we've seen that happen before too, where we've had people with a really bad attitude come out and the whole nothing. The orbs leave everything, you know.
So, yeah, they leave. Just leave, right?
They just
they're hiding.
They're not going to force themselves on anything. And if the energy doesn't feel good, they're I'm out of here.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, they'll go over and scan and go, not today. You know.
Yeah.
We're going to stay high or cloaked, one or the other. Yeah, so consciousness is so important, you know, to the mix here without having the right consciousness. It's just, you know, we've come at the end of the hour. We've only got a couple minutes left, but, you know, I know people are really interested in your work. What's the best way for people to get in contact with you with the remote viewing work you're doing in the workshops and everything?
I've got a website, righthemispheric.com. I've also got a YouTube channel, Right Hemispheric Remote Viewing, and working on a documentary about this place and what we viewed. That should be out pretty soon. There's a trailer out for it right now. And I've got a book.
Nice.
So, yeah, head over to Right Hemispheric. It's all there.
Yeah, great. And we've also got the Uncontrolled Narrative. Be sure and check that out. Show that to your friends. It's a mind blower. The ships, everything we've talked about is in it. And also, too, you know, we're talking treetop level, massive light ships coming in and beings appearing and things like that. But the Contact Has Begun, too, is going to be coming out. And if you haven't seen the first one, it's theater quality. It's beautiful. It talks about near-death experiences, the planet, what's going on, contact, who they are, everything. But we're going to take it to the next level in Contact, too. So that's going to be coming out. And I'd say we'll probably be done around spring with that. And amazing people are going to be in that video. I know John's going to be part of that video.
Yeah.
And Billy Carson and quite a few other people are going to be in there. Teresa Yarnos, Jordan Sather. I'm not sure. We have so many people. I need to get a list of everybody. But anyway, you know, it's going to be amazing when this comes out. So remember, check out the Uncontrolled Narrative. Go to eSETI.org if you want to check out any of the books. Check out John's website. And again, do your own research. Stay in the heart. You know, keep a loving heart, open mind, and pure intent. And, you know, again, hook into that universal law. That's what we need. We're getting a big infusion of universal law right now, and that's what's bringing up all the chaos and the other stuff that doesn't align with it, that's not frequency specific. So basically, universal law is universal peace, brother, sisterly love, individual freedom, and prosperity for all. And seeing the creator in all creation and just being kind to each other. What a novel idea. That's all we need to do to turn this planet around. So anyway, we're out of time, folks. This is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, signing off. Have a great evening. Watch the skies, stay in the heart, and do something kind to your neighbor. Good night.